We are so glad that you're with us. We've been in a series in Proverbs, and we're going to take a little break from the series of Proverbs today, and we're going to look into 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is where we're going to be, so you can turn there in your Bible, and we've got a Bible in front of you that on page 763, you can turn right there and find that as well, which would be awesome to be able to have. But we're going to jump back into Proverbs next week, and next week will be my final week before I go on a time of sabbatical. So I'll be gone for about a month, which pray for me on that God would just speak to my heart and refresh me and all those things. Love for you to be able to do that and pray for me with that. We'll have amazing speakers, I promise you, all throughout that month. You won't even know that I'm gone. It'll be awesome. God will use it in a great way. But we'll be back into Proverbs next week. But I want us to celebrate two things before we get into 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I want us, number one, to celebrate last week was our first service in our brand new finished out. We've had it before in the building, but our finished out complete grand opening was last week at our downtown campus. So I just want us all to celebrate for that just a second. We had the mayor there. We had city officials there. I mean, it was awesome. We had hundreds of people there. It was great. So I want us to celebrate that. Second thing I want us to celebrate, even though we have one more week in Proverbs next week, we have been by the thousands, like 4,000 or 5,000 of us, have been journeying through Proverbs, getting a text message every day saying, here's the proverb of the day to read, and we've been reading Proverbs. So I just want us to celebrate. We finished it. Friday is when we finished Proverbs. So I want us to celebrate and just cheer for everybody that finished Proverbs. 31 chapters, awesome thing. So good. You know, that's really the win in your Christian growth is when you really start reading the Bible for yourself. That's when the win happens in your life. That's when something really great happens in your life. So we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in just a second, and we're going to talk about thankfulness. We're going to talk about gratitude, because here's the truth. Gratitude will bless your marriage. Gratitude will bless your singlehood. Gratitude will be something you want to get into your kids' lives. Nobody is like, hey, if I could just raise some entitled kids that are selfish, that's my goal. We want to raise people, kids that are grateful, that are saying, I'm thankful. This beginning of this month of May, I got to go to Washington, D.C. to the National Day of Prayer. And it was held in the Capitol. It was an amazing thing to be in the Capitol of the United States of America. And there was all these leaders there, Christian leaders there. There were some political leaders there. It was fabulous for us to join together and to pray and to say, God, we want you to do great things in our country. And when I left that time, you know, you're in D.C., you're seeing the Capitol, you're seeing all the monuments, you're seeing all these things. I was so grateful for our country. And we got a lot of things wrong, I understand. But there's a lot of things right as well. And it welled up in me this gratitude. And as we stood and broke up into groups, about 3, 4, 5 people, held hands with people I didn't even know, and we prayed together, I was so grateful. And so on this Memorial Day, I want us to have tremendous gratitude. I want us to understand the depths of thankfulness. Thankfulness is all throughout the Scriptures. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, it says, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be taken, let us be thankful and so worship God with reverence and awe. Ezra 3, verse 11, with praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord. Nehemiah 12, verse 24, the Levites gave thanks. Psalm 69, verse 30, and I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. Psalm 147, verse 7, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving and make music to our God on the harp. So all throughout the Scripture, I could take the entire time of my message and just quote Scripture after Scripture after Scripture on thanksgiving. We've got to be people. We want to be people that are thankful in our hearts and our lives. So how do we get there? How do we get to a Memorial Day and we're really, really thankful, not just because we're supposed to say it, but really thankful for the lives that have been spent on our behalf so that we could be here as Americans? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. It's 3 verses of Scripture, but you know what? It's an easy passage to memorize. Here we go. Look at verse 16. 2 words. What a great Scripture memory verse. Rejoice always. Verse 17, 2 words. Pray constantly. Verse 18, now we get to the big stuff. Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So he's saying, I want you to rejoice always, I want you to pray constantly, and I want you to give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now here's the deal. Paul is ramping us up to thanksgiving. He says, first of all, you're going to have to be a person that's rejoicing always, even when things are going bad. I want you to be a person that's praying constantly, not just when the pastor prays, not just when things are going bad, praying constantly. And what will happen is you're ramping into thankfulness so that you can have a thankful heart. Now, I want to give us three blinders and two lenses of thankfulness. Three blinders, three things that will prevent your view of thankfulness, and two lenses that will give you a view of thankfulness. So here's basically what we're doing. We got the blinders here, what you would have, like if you went on an overseas flight, the blinders that could happen here and cover up your eyes. We've got the two lenses here of my glasses to be able to say we want to see clearly. Let's look at the blinders first. I want to give you three blinders that will prevent us from being thankful. Here we go. Number one is a comparison to others. A comparison to others. We all do this, don't we? We compare ourselves to other people. Now, we can do it in a fleshly, worldly way, but we can also do it in a spiritual way. We can do it in a fleshly way. That, ladies, there's going to be somebody that's prettier, thinner, and has better clothes than you for the rest of your life, okay? You're just going to have to get over it. There's going to be jealousy that happens in that. There's going to be envy that happens in that. There's going to be a comparison that happens. There's going to be folks that are smarter than you, folks that are more successful than you, people that have more money than you, have nicer stuff than you, all of those things. There's going to be comparison that happens with that. There's going to be also sometimes in the church, we can compare spiritual giftedness and we can make it a spiritual thing. And man, I wish I could sing like that person. I wish I could teach like that person. I wish I knew the Bible like that person knew. I wish I could speak those wise words. I wish I was as brave as they are to step out in that way of really making a difference and to step forth in mission work and those sort of things. And we can compare spiritually and we want those gifts that somebody else got instead of the gifts that we got. And we're like, Lord, why did you give me all these things? You gave me a bunch of twos, and you gave that other person a bunch of aces. And what can happen is we end up comparing ourselves on a worldly side or on a fleshly side. If you compare yourself to somebody above you, so to speak, you're always going to be discouraged. I mean, it's just always going to be somebody that's got it better than you do. And you're going to be discouraged by that. And at the same time, if you compare yourself to somebody that doesn't have as much as you, then you're going to get a little bit prideful. It's not going to work. See, God wants to give us a different foundation from which thankfulness comes from. And that foundation is the root of thankfulness that comes from the real root of Jesus Christ. It says in Colossians 2, 6 and 7, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing with gratitude, rooted in Christ to then overflow with gratitude. It doesn't come from comparing yourself to somebody up here because that's discouraging. And it doesn't come from comparing yourself to somebody that has less than you. That doesn't work either. It's short term at best. But what do? A lot of times we like, oh, I need to be thankful. You know what? At least I don't have that going on in my life. At least I don't have this concern going on. Most of us, at some point, our mom said this when we didn't eat our broccoli. She'd say something like this. They're starving kids in insert country, right? And what did we all do? We all went, wow, that's right. I'm so grateful for broccoli now. This is really good. No, we were like even double bitter at that point, right? Because it's a guilt trip. So we're like, well, that's awesome. Well, let's just put the broccoli in an envelope and let's mail it to that country. And then they can eat it if they want to eat it. That'd be great. But I don't want to eat the broccoli. I don't want to eat the Brussels sprouts, whatever it is. It doesn't do any to just find out they're starving kids. It doesn't make you any more grateful for something on your plate that you don't like. So we've got to be careful about comparison. Listen to these paragraphs of a guy that he wrote this, that's a guy named David Owen, and it's a funny little thing. Here's what he says. History books are filled with wealthy people who are practically destitute compared to me. I have triple track storm windows. Croatius did not. Entire nations trembled before Alexander the Great, but he could not buy cat food in bulk like I can. Tsar Nicholas II lacked power tools. Given how much better off I am than so many famous dead people, you'd think I'd be content. The trouble is that, like most people, I compare my prosperity to those of living persons, to neighbors, to classmates, to TV personalities. There's really no rising or falling of a standard of living. Over the centuries, people simply find different stuff to feel grumpy about. You'd think that merely not having the bubonic plague would be enough to put us in a good mood. But no, we want a hot tub too. We always want something extra, don't we? Whenever you compare it, it goes all these different ways. And you know what? The only satisfaction that comes is when it comes from the root, the spiritual foundation that Jesus Christ, then that can produce true satisfaction. You will never have all you want, but you will always have all you need in Christ. You'll never have all you want in this world, but you'll always have everything that you need in Jesus Christ. And from that root comes, not from comparison, that's a blinder, but instead from who he is. Number two, the second blinder is this. We're too familiar. We're too familiar with the things that we have. We've got so much stuff and so many things around us we're so familiar with, we don't even appreciate anymore. Can you imagine that people actually, for hundreds of years in Houston, Texas, did not have air conditioning or mosquito spray? Can you imagine that? But we're so familiar with everything, we take it for granted. We're so familiar. In Numbers chapter 11, do you remember the Israelites were coming out of Egypt and they were complaining because all they had was manna? They wanted the leeks and the garlics and the onions of Egypt. They wanted to be in bondage. All they had was manna. Do you know what manna is? Manna was a miraculous food that they would go to sleep at night, they'd wake up, and from heaven on the ground would be manna. So literally, they'd come out of their tent and step into Kroger, okay, is what they would do. And in that moment of stepping into Kroger's there with all the manna there on the ground, they'd go, oh, it's manna again. Miraculous food from heaven, how boring. And they were too familiar with it. But at the same time, don't we come like that in our hearts as well? Ah, it's church again. But do we realize people died as martyrs for the faith? Man, it's just the Bible. I don't have time to read that. People died to translate this thing and to put it all together. And that we've become so familiar with worship, so familiar with teaching, so familiar with all of these things that we just get so familiar. We become like the Israelites. We're like, oh, man, here we are again. Here we are again. Ralph Waldo Emerson put it like this. He said, if the stars only came out once a year, we'd stay up all night to watch them. If the stars only came out one night a year, we would stay up all night to watch them. Warren Wiersbe said this, I felt for a long time that one of the particular temptations of maturing Christians is the danger of growing accustomed to his blessings. Like a world traveler who has been everywhere and seen everything, the maturing Christian is in danger of taking his blessings for granted and getting so accustomed to them that they fail to excite him as they once did. It's a blinder. It's a blinder. We compare and we become too familiar. Number three, we fail to look back. We fail to look back. Lamentations 3, verse 23, it says, great is thy faithfulness, for your mercies are new every morning. Why does the writer say that? He's saying the mercies will be new in the morning because I know they've been new in the past. And I've watched his faithfulness over and over. We fail to look back. We're so focused on the present and so focused on the future that we fail to look back at the faithfulness of God in the past. The present is stressful and the future is worrisome. And the past is a testimony to his faithfulness. Look back. See what God has done. Trust him in those things. See that the presence is overwhelming, but the past is his faithfulness. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to do a little exercise with me. You ready? I want all of us right now, I want us to all close our eyes. Go ahead and close your eyes right now. And I want you to just go back in your mind, and I want you to picture, if you're an adult, I want you to picture the house you grew up in. Just get that picture in your mind. If you're a student and you've been in the same house your whole life, picture like an elementary school or someplace that you used to go. Got it? You see that front door? Maybe pick out your bedroom window even there. Now think about how much God has done in your life from that point till today. Open up your eyes. Think of how much God has done from that moment till today. He's been faithful. He's been faithful to you. And if you look back and you're like, I don't know if I can really see God's work in my life, then I just want to give you a time out for a moment and say, think about that. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you walking with God as your Lord? And if you look back and you're like, I mean, maybe God did, maybe God didn't, talk to somebody about that. You should have a sense in your heart I sense it. I can't name 100 different things, but I can, yeah. And if I thought about it, maybe I could name 100 different things. My wife has a gratitude journal is what she does. She writes down, she's a journaler. Sometimes I'm not that good of a journaler, so sometimes I'm like, hey, journal for me too. Write down something good that happened. So she writes down the journal in her journal, a gratitude journal. She'll write down things that have happened. And when I say gratitude journal, ladies, I'm talking like she has several of them, countless of them. Some are long entries, some are short entries. And when she gets to a difficult time, she can open up her gratitude journal and just recount the faithfulness of God. In preparation for this point of this message, yesterday I got in the car. It was a beautiful day yesterday. We got in, went for a little drive, my son and I, and we went to where I grew up, to the area of Houston that I grew up. And so we went and looked at my elementary school. We went and looked at my middle school. We looked at my high school. We looked at all the things that were happening, all these places. I told him all those kind of, you know, poor dad stories of 2 miles walking in the snow kind of thing. And he was like, Dad, it's Houston, 2 miles in the snow? I'm like, yeah, it was really cold back then. I mean, it was totally different. Global warming ruined the whole thing. It used to snow all the time in Houston. Just kidding. But to be able to just see those, I remember this sidewalk that would connect my middle school within this neighborhood. And my best friend lived right around the corner from that middle school. Man, I walked that sidewalk 100 times, 1,000 times. And we drove by and looked at things, and I just thought of the faithfulness of God in my life. Wow, Lord. We drove down. It took me a while to figure it out where it was. I was like, I know the name of the street, but let me go by. We drove by this house, smaller than I thought it was, than I remembered it being. That was the house that the person that led me to Christ grew up in. And I told my son, I said, isn't that amazing? We're driving by that house. I wondered if my friend's parents, they might still live there. I was hoping they'd be in the yard or something. I could pull over and say hi. I didn't feel, you know, confident enough to knock on the door and see if they were still there. But we drove by and that house was there. And I said, you know what? Somebody decided they were going to raise their kids in the church. And they were going to be a godly home. And then that kid led me to Christ. And now I'm driving by on this street. Years later, 30 years later now, somewhere in that house, that family made a decision about Jesus. And it affected me, and I'm driving by here with my son. Thank you, God. I didn't go drive by and go, well, my house is nicer, my house is bigger, I got a better car in the parking lot than they do. Who cares? I went, dear Lord, thank you. Take a moment and look back. That's what Memorial Day is about, isn't it? It's about us looking back. It's about us saying, you know what? People went before us and gave their life. I heard somebody say this. This is a quote. They said, somebody gave their life on the beaches of Normandy so you could go to the beach on Memorial Day. Check that out. Somebody gave their life on the beach so you and I could go to the beach. Somebody died for their faith so we could go to church. Somebody died in a fight so that we could have freedom. And we look back and we say, wow, thank you, Lord. At all of our campuses, we have American flags put in the ground outside all of our campuses. So downtown, Siena, Cypress, The Loop, we've got flags put in there. We've got 380 flags at each campus. Why 380 flags? 380 flags because each flag represents 100 people. There was 38,000 Texans that have died on behalf of serving our country. Now, we're grateful for somebody from Kentucky or Louisiana or Ohio that died serving their country. We just wanted to bring as close to home as possible on Memorial Day. So 380 flags representing 38,000 Texans that died. So every flag that you see at our church today, think of 100 people. Gave their life. 100 people said to their mom and dad, you know what? I think I'm going to sign up for the military, or I just got a draft card, or however it worked. And then their mom and their dad went, oh my goodness. And they began to think about that. Then they took them on a place to put them on a bus. They hugged them, they kissed them, and they never came home. And we look back and we say, thank you. Thank you. to our first responders. Thank you to our elected officials. Thank you to those who gave their life. Thank you to our soldiers that protect our freedom. And we look back and we say thank you. Let's just give a round of applause just to say thanks to those that serve. Our country is far from perfect, but I'm sure glad I live here. And there's a whole lot of people trying to get here to live here. It's a great place. So we've got to look back and to realize that. Go by your old neighborhood. Think about your old house. Think of the lives that have been given on your behalf. Because if you fail to look back, blinders on your gratitude. Now let me give you two lenses. Two lenses. We've talked about the blinders. Now let me give you two lenses. Now remember this verse of scripture that we said, rejoice always, pray constantly, and give thanks in everything, for this is God's will. Underline that in your Bible. For you in Christ Jesus. First lens is this, trust God's will. Trust God's will. How do we walk in a spirit and a heart of thankfulness? We walk trusting God's will. This is God's will. Trust in God's will in everything. Do you know what's so difficult about God's will? God's will at some moments, it hurts. It's hard. It's a struggle. It's not fun. But here's the deal. God's will can be bad sometimes. But God's will can produce good in you even in the hardships. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing the testing of your faith will produce endurance so that you may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. Exalt in your trials and your tribulations. Don't pray for easier lives. Pray to be stronger men and women. Don't pray for easier lives. Pray to be stronger men and women and give thanks, knowing that even when you go through the difficult times, God's will can lead you through difficult times. And here's what will happen, and I know this from my own life. Thanksgiving will be a lever to pull you out of the ditch of self-pity when things are bad. When God's will is difficult, in thanksgiving, it's a lever, it's a fulcrum, it's a pull, it's a tool to get you out of the ditch of self-pity. Because if not, we'll just wallow in it. And instead, we say, Lord, let me count my blessings. Let me thank you for all that you've done. Yeah, things are tough right now, but thank you for what you're doing in me. I want you to do something great in me. It may feel really, really bad, but it may be really, really good for you and for me. And God is working things out. God works all things to the good of those who are called according to his purpose and love Christ Jesus, so we can trust that he's doing something good. Life is tough. Life is tough. Thankfulness, though, is a lever. It's a tool to get you out of the ditch and me out of the ditch of self-pity. Number two, second lens, live in Christ. Live in Christ Jesus. Did you see what it said in verse 18? Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will. That's lens one. For you in Christ Jesus. Now, this is what's amazing. This is what's so great. Here's what happens when you trust Jesus as your Savior. You place your faith in Christ's death on the cross, his resurrection from the grave. Being a Christian isn't you go to some church, you check some box. It's you have trusted your life and your soul to Jesus, and he has changed you, and you have allowed him to forgive your sins, asked him to forgive your sins, wash you clean. Here's what happens. Then Christ lives in you. It's called the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit resides in you. It says in 1 John 4:4, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. The Holy Spirit is the Greek word paraclete. It's a word that means the walks, in Greek, walks alongside of. One who walks alongside of you. So like a paramedic works alongside of the doctors. A paralegal works alongside of the lawyers. A paraclete walks alongside of you. The Holy Spirit of God lives in your heart to guide you and to walk alongside of you, to take you and to guide you, to bring verses of Scripture to your memory, to wash you clean, to be your down payment of heaven. He is in you. Now watch this. But it doesn't end there. The Holy Spirit is in you. Christ is in you. But you, if you're a believer in Jesus, you're also in Christ. So it's not just he's in me and I just have this little Jesus I walk around with. He goes wherever I go. I'm in him. And my life is hidden in his life. So when I step forward in heaven and I die one day and I'm standing before the throne, before the pearly gates, as we like to put it, God sees Jesus. Because I am in Christ and no one can snatch me from his hand. He is in me and I am in him. And now I can look at God's will for my life with gratitude, as this verse says, for it is God, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So now he's in me, I'm in him, and I'm able to let him guide me wherever he wants to guide me. So I can trust him, and I can walk in him. So I want to be grateful. I want to be grateful and thankful in my heart. Because if I'm not, it's actually going to wreck my spiritual walk. Listen to Romans 1, verse 21. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him nor gave thanks to him. But in their thinking they became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. See if you want to be listed in this list. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of self, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of holiness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. Do you see what was right in the middle of that? Ungrateful. And instead, God said, I want you to be grateful. Trust in my will, even in the trials. Live in Christ and Christ in you. And then that becomes the foundation that then the root is able to birth into this great thing of thanksgiving. And here's what's great. You'll never have your marriage anything but blessed when you say thank you. You'll never have a friendship anything but blessed by saying thank you. It's going to always be a blessing. It's always the right thing. Doesn't mean it's not going to be a struggle at times, but it's going to be the right thing. Now, I want to give you very quickly, I promise you, four places of homework, and then we're going to have a place of classwork. These four places of homework are going to take about 3 minutes. So here we go. Get ready to write. Number one, make a list of 5 to 10 things that you're grateful for. Make a list later on in the next 24 hours. Try to do it today. Of 5 to 10 things that you're grateful for. They can be spiritual things. They can be, you know, worldly things. Whatever it is, you make a list of the 5 to 10 things that you're grateful for and just start your gratitude journal. Number two, write a thank you note to somebody. Just write a thank you note to somebody. That's a great exercise to just write a thank you note. Well, they didn't send me a present. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? Write a thank you note to somebody. Especially, I give you a suggestion if, like, I can't think anybody. Write a thank you note to a teacher. Do you know how hard it is to be a teacher, a school administrator, a principal? You know how difficult that is? Write a note to a teacher. Maybe some of you had a teacher years and years ago. Kids, write a note to one of your teachers and just slip it on their desk. Parents, write a note to one of your kids' administrators or teachers. And you can write a note to whoever you want. I'm just giving you a suggestion. Those teachers in May, there's no good morale in May. Everybody's sick of school by May. And let's encourage our teachers instead of being complaining people to our teachers. Public school, private school, homeschool as well. And let's write them a thank you note because they are working hard and we need to tell them how much of a blessing they are to us. Because here's the truth about it. Now they got to risk their lives. Not just teach biology. So write a thank you to somebody. If you can't think of anybody, then write somebody that's taught you somewhere along the way. Number three, be here now. Be here now. I had lunch with a businessman. He said one of the things that he's trying to put into his company as a value is be here now. When you're at work, be at work. When you're at home, be at home. Be here now and savor the little things. But what are most of us doing? Wherever we are is not where we really are. We're somewhere else. We're talking to somebody else. We're looking at something else. We're doing something else. We're always thinking about whatever the next thing is. Just stop, time out, and just be right where you are, right there in that moment, and just savor those moments. And what will happen is you'll sit there and you'll be like, thank you, God. This was good, as opposed to being distracted. Number four, and finally, and most importantly, thank God for who he is and what he's done. Thank God for who he is and what he's done. Just begin your prayers with thanksgiving. Begin your prayers with praise and just thank him for who he is and what he's done. And that will birth gratitude in your heart. Now, that's our homework. I want to give you some classwork we're going to do, okay? Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to tell you what we're going to do, then we're going to do it. I want you to process it, get it in your mind. What we're going to do is we're going to do some classwork, and here's what we're going to do. We are going to, in just a few moments, I'll tell you when, I'm going to have everybody stand up. We're going to get in groups of 3 to 5 people. Doesn't matter if you know them or not. It could be your buddies that you already know. Be some other folks. Let's don't let anybody be left out. And so we're going to get in groups of 3 to 5 folks, and we're going to pray together in groups, and we're going to say, thank you, God. That's what we're going to do. Those are our two words. We're not going to ask for anything. We're just going to say, thank you, God. We're going to be a congregation at all our campuses, all over the city, that just stops it at the end. We hold hands. We put our arms around each other. If you don't want to touch anybody, you just do your hands like this, and we'll know you don't like touching people that you don't know. That's fine. But we'll get there in that circle, and we'll just pray, and we'll say, thank you, God. Here's the 3 things that we're going to say thank you for. Number 1, we're going to thank God for our nation and for those who have sacrificed. We're just going to start right there on Memorial Day. Thank you, God, for this nation and for those that have sacrificed for this nation. Is this perfect? No. Is this got everything right? No. Is there some political craziness going on? Of course. Always has, always will. But we're going to thank God and say, Lord, we thank you for the folks that have sacrificed for our nation. Number 2, we're going to say, thank you, God, for our church. Thank you, God, for our church. You'll never have a perfect pastor in me. You'll never have a perfect staff in our staff. You'll never be perfect people. We'll never have a perfect life Bible study. We'll never be a perfect church. But we want to stop and say, thank you, God, for this place. Thank you for what you've done here and what you're doing. We're grateful. We are grateful for this church. And then 3, thank God for his love and his grace. Thank God for his love and his grace. So we're not going to pray for 30 minutes. Don't worry. We're just going to pray for a couple minutes. We're going to get in our groups in just a second. If you aren't comfortable praying out loud, don't worry about it. There'll be somebody in your group that is. It's fine. If you're super comfortable with praying out loud, please let somebody else pray besides you, okay? Just be careful. We don't want you preaching a sermon. You're not on the floor of the Senate or the House talking about your political views. We're just going to say, thank you, God, for our nation. Thank you, God, for our church. Thank you for your love and your grace. And we're going to have a little classwork. And then we're going to praise together. I'll close this in a word of prayer. And we'll be out of here in just a moment. So I want you to do it. Stand up right now, right where you are. Kind of scout out around. See who's your 2 or 3 people you need to connect with. Just go over there and jump into a group. That's fine. We want groups of 3 to 5 folks. Don't let anybody be left out. Shake a hand. Get to know somebody. And then you just start praying right where you are.